This is The Full Spectrum. The show provides a wide range of news and competing opinions. The commentaries, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by segment hosts and guests do not necessarily represent those of WJSU-FM, Jackson State University, or its administrators. The content of this program is for informational and/or entertainment value only and not meant as an endorsement or recommendation in lieu of professional guidance on relevant topics.
It's the full spectrum. It's the full spectrum. We got news, entertainment, interviews, and so much more. It's the full spectrum.
On today's show, Mississippi's continuing battle against opioid addiction. Welcome to The Full Spectrum for Wednesday, August 22nd. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. Friday, August 31st is International Overdose Awareness Day. The purpose of the global event is to raise awareness of overdose and reduce the stigma of drug-related death. Stand Up Mississippi, a statewide opioid awareness campaign led by the Mississippi Department of Mental Health and six other state and federal agencies, is encouraging Mississippians to join people across the world in recognizing International Overdose Awareness Day. And joining us now to talk about all this is the outreach coordinator for Stand Up Mississippi, Angela Mallett. Welcome to you.
Hi, thank you, Dwayne.
Great to have you here.
Glad to be here.
I think we should start with a little background about the Stand Up Mississippi campaign.
Yeah, so Stand Up Mississippi was initiated in 2017 by Department of Mental Health, Department of Public Safety, the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics, the Board of Pharmacy, the Department of Human Services, the FBI, and the DEA. So the leaders from all of these agencies got together and met and talked about where Mississippi was in regards to the opioid crisis and decided that they wanted to partner together to bring awareness to people around the state, to help bring them resources if they have loved ones or are struggling themselves with addiction, and you know, just to start the conversation, to try to be proactive so that, you know, while Mississippi's numbers for overdoses are increasing, we are not yet at the levels that states like Ohio and West Virginia are at. So the leaders from around our state said, you know, we've got to start making some changes and working together so that we don't end up where those states are in the near future.
We know that this is the opioid problem. I'm a little older than you. I know this goes way back. I remember when I heard about people getting addicted to heroin, and that was one of the first big ones. But and I remember reading about when people were starting to abuse, I don't know if that's the right word, or misuse prescription drugs. But it seems it was only two or three years ago when all of a sudden this exploded. It was a big part of the last presidential campaign that this awareness that people in so many states were addicted to opioids, and it was a national problem. Tell me, here in Mississippi, especially as part of this Stand Up Mississippi campaign, are you guys... Did it take you, when you formed the campaign, was it this sudden awareness like, wow, what's going on? And has that somewhat changed over the year and a half or so since the campaign has been up and running?
Well, you know, I think all of the agencies that I've mentioned, especially law enforcement and treatment professionals, everyone's aware of the problem. They were just operating in silos. They were operating, doing their own work. You know, law enforcement had their perspective, and they're on the front lines of it. And then you have the addiction professionals who are working to try to get people treatment. Never before, and then you had the medical community, who a lot of blame is thrown at, but it's not their fault alone. So everyone was kind of doing their own thing, and thanks to Governor Bryant, he brought everyone to the table and said, we have to share ideas, we have to work together if we're going to make headway in Mississippi. So now you have law enforcement and first responders in the criminal justice system who see the aftermath of addiction. They see people when they are at their low points and they're committing crimes because of their addiction. And then you have the treatment professionals who are educated in the clinical backgrounds to help people overcome their addiction. And what I'm really proud of that Governor Bryant did is he brought people that are actually in recovery to the table and said, tell us your story and tell us how you overcame and what are some ways that we can move forward. And so by having all of these conversations and all of these sharing of ideas, we're hoping that we can come up with ways that will really help Mississippians, not just lip service, not just pie in the sky, but actual real programs that people can access and get help.
I will say, though, that the big difference in my mind is there was an awareness, but it was mostly centered around illegal use of opioids, especially heroin. And what has changed is, or what became so magnified, I think, over the past, let's say, 5 years, is that people were misusing prescription drugs. It's not illegal to be prescribed an opioid. What happened, though, is that people were becoming addicted to these drugs. And as you say, there was a lot of criticism against doctors for over-prescribing drugs. You know, I've heard people call us a crybaby society, which I think is a little simplistic explanation here. But,
well, you know, we could go way back and do a real history lesson, Duane, if you want to. But I think if we want to look at the genesis of the problem for prescription opioids, we're going to go back to the 90s. And a couple of things happened. The first thing that happened was making pain a fifth vital sign. In the medical community, there was regulations put into place that said pain is now a fifth vital sign. So anytime someone goes into a doctor's exam room or the emergency room, they're going to check your heartbeat. They're going to make sure you're breathing. They're going to check your blood pressure. And they're going to ask you if you're in pain.
But that was triggered because...
That was triggered.
By people saying that doctors weren't taking their complaints about pain seriously enough. So...
That was one of the reasons. But it was also, at the same time, we had some... I'm just going to use the word predatory marketing strategies put in place by pharmaceutical companies. And you had pharmaceutical reps for huge companies that were marketing drugs like OxyContin and Opana and oxycodone, saying that these drugs are great, they're going to solve everyone's pain issue, and they're not addictive. So those marketing strategies...
Let's stop there for a minute, because
okay.
That seems to be one of the things, when I look back at this, that seems odd to me. How is it possible that they did not know? Because I've heard this, that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies were saying this, doctors were telling patients this. How did they not know how addictive these drugs were?
Well, they were new drugs. OxyContin, when it came out in the early 90s, was new. There wasn't anything else to compare it to other than illegal heroin or concentrated drugs like, you know, straight morphine or Dilaudid that are usually only given in a hospital setting. So they were fairly new, and there wasn't a lot of research out about them. There weren't a lot of clinical trials that showed, you know, whether or not they were addictive. So I think I think there's a number of things that happened that has led us to where we are today. And blame can be placed, you know, people like, there's a place for that. And I think it's in the legal community. It's not with us. What we try to focus on with Stand Up Mississippi is, here's where we are. It doesn't matter how we got here. But what matters today is that 256 Mississippians are dying every year. It's probably going to be more by the time we reach the end of 2018. So what are we going to do today, tomorrow, to help people overcome their addiction, to help people get their lives back together? And that's what we like to focus on, is where we're going from here.
Well, I will say this. I do think one part of it matters. This is a criticism and actually a pat on the back. Because a lot of communities are upset because when crack was an epidemic, it was mainly affecting the black community. This wasn't the reaction to it. It was about criminalizing it. And I think one of the things I was impressed with, I attended the Broadmoor Summit about opioids, which was like last year or maybe the year before last.
Well, the first one was last year, and then we just had the second one last month.
Okay, so I went to the first one. And this, because this is affecting many more communities, a broader range of people, and because it started with prescribed drugs, there's been a real shift on law enforcement's part to look at this as a health crisis. And I think that's a big turn, because when you have a coalition like Stand Up Mississippi, it couldn't have worked if the only way the law enforcement community was going to look at it was as criminalizing the behavior. So that's a big turn.
Well, thank you. You know, so I'm in recovery myself. I became addicted to opioids.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay. Very interesting, Angela Millett. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to pick that up with that as soon as we come back.
All right.
Stick around.
And Current WJSU wants to hear from you. While we do our best to provide you with great quality jazz and blues programming, we realize that things can change. We want to change with you so that you don't change the station. We're all ears. Have a programming suggestion or request? Any likes or dislikes? Emails can be sent to WJSUFM@jsums.edu. That's WJSUFM@jsums.edu.
Welcome back to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty. We're talking with the outreach coordinator for Stand Up Mississippi, Angela Mallett, about the opioid crisis. And you were telling us before we went to break, Angela, about your own personal experience.
Yeah, so I was addicted to opioids. My addiction started when I was about 27 years old. And that's how I made my way to Jackson. I came to Jackson in 2013. And went to treatment actually right down the street from here at a wonderful place called the Friendship Connection. And those ladies introduced me to recovery and ultimately changed my life. And so what your question earlier about the difference in how we are treating addiction today versus how it was treated in the 80s with the crack epidemic is a great question, and it's something that I am happy to see the change in everyone's outlook on. So I was introduced in recovery, and I was taught about the power of recovery by some women who were addicts in those days, back in the 80s. Mm. And now, you know, they have 20 and 30 years clean, and they have amazing, powerful testimonies. And those are the people that we need to learn from. The ones who survived the previous generation's addiction crisis and have been able to turn their lives around. And so those, their stories, their testimonies, those are the stories that I try to learn from and that I hope everyone who's struggling with addiction right now, we've got to reach out to the ones who've come before us and figure out where we need to go.
Go ahead.
And those are the survivors of what you just mentioned, the 80s epidemic.
And it's interesting to me that this is under the umbrella of the Mississippi Department of Mental Health, because when we talk about a shift on the law enforcement side and not always over-criminalizing this behavior, on the part of other citizens, you know, who may not be addicted, family members, friends, it's interesting because just as with mental health, a lot of people feel that it's something you can solve by yourself, that this, oh, you just need to deal with this, you know, that it's in your mind, you can handle it. And so that's why I think there's so much stigma associated with it. And we know that addiction really is a physical problem. It's a health problem.
Addiction is absolutely a disease. And it's a shift. You know, there's a lot of people out there who don't believe that.
Right. Like with mental health, they don't believe, they can't think of it as a disease, as a health problem.
They don't. And that's one of the things that we talk about with Stand Up Mississippi. We talk about why and how and the actual medical terminology used and the research that has been done to prove that addiction is a disease. There are actual physiological changes that happen in your brain to the neurons in your brain when you become addicted and you are no longer able to do certain behaviors, you're no longer able to make rational decisions, you're no longer able to practice good judgment once the addiction has taken root in your brain. So that's one of our messages that we try to convey.
And I just want to add to that, that's also why it's so hard to beat it on your own, because withdrawal for some people can be a really difficult, painful process, and you really do need services for some people to help you through. I've heard of people who have gone cold turkey, but it really is clear that you need, some people need a service, a group of people around them helping them through this.
Right. You need to be, you know, in a medical facility and managed when you go through withdrawals, particularly withdrawals from alcohol or benzodiazepines and opioids. You need to be somewhere where you can be watched by a physician. And so at the Department of Mental Health, we have facilities all around the state who that's what they do. We do withdrawal management. Then we have primary and transitional residential treatment programs. We have intensive outpatient treatment programs for both adults and for adolescents. We have DUI assessment services. And all of these services and facilities are overseen by the Bureau of Alcohol and Drug Services within the Department of Mental Health. And so the grant that Stand Up Mississippi and Department of Mental Health has received that from
SAMHSA. And what grant is that?
So last year we received a grant from the 21st Century Cures Act, which is a federal grant, and it's for a total of $7.2 million for 2 years. And we have dispersed those funds throughout treatment facilities around the state of Mississippi to help treat individuals who are struggling with opioid addiction. And the grants will cover the cost of detox if it's needed. It will cover the cost of medication-assisted treatment if the person chooses, and it covers up to 90 days of inpatient treatment.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Let's back up a little bit and talk about the stand-up campaign. And if I look at this, not to trivialize it, but just to have a little metaphor here to look at it. If we look at it as an assembly line, and now that you have all of these different agencies involved, and let's say somebody is addicted, so it might, if you look at the beginning, it could be getting someone off of the street who It may be engaging in crime by this time, trying to service their addiction. Talk to me about, over this year and a half and working together, have you all gotten that assembly line moving better? Are you working together as coordinated groups to really bring somebody through this process?
So you are my kind of guy, Dwayne. You really are. The thought of the mechanical assembly line process, that just works right into my engineering brain. So I don't know if we could call it an assembly line yet. However, what we have been able to do through the relationships that we've built with Stand Up Mississippi and the education that we've brought to communities through our town hall meetings, we've now been able to equip law enforcement with different options. So if there's someone in their community and they know that they are struggling with addiction and they know that they're getting in trouble because of their addiction, as you said, trying to service their addiction, now they know that they have resources. You know, as before, where they had no choice to just take them to jail, now they know that they can reach out to the local treatment facilities in their area and try to get that person into treatment rather than just incarcerating them. So that's one of the outcomes that we've been able to achieve, is to provide different options for people so that we don't just throw everyone into prison. Prison is not treatment. And if you think of all of those people who are incarcerated right now, over 80% of them have some type of mental health or substance use issue, and they're all going to be coming back into the community, and prison is not treatment.
And it's a question of, because I think there's a growing realization about that, but now it's about resources and how we deal with this with limited resources. We're talking with Angela Millett. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Support for WJSU comes from the Mississippi Link. Each week, the Link has connected, integrated, and communicated urban, rural, and community news from around the globe to people of Mississippi and beyond. And now its website provides daily news and events at MississippiLink.net. Welcome to your world.
Welcome back to The Full Spectrum on Cool and Current WJSU. I'm your host, Dwayne Doty, and we're talking with the outreach coordinator for Stand Up Mississippi, Angela Millett. Angela, we're going to run out of time. It always happens, but we have a few minutes. I really want to very quickly move through some statistics so we just get an idea currently about what we're dealing with here when it comes to the opioid crisis. Let's start with some national numbers.
So the CDC released the statistics for 2017 last week. And in 2017 in the United States of America, there were 72,000 people who died of drug overdoses. So
In 2017.
In 2017.
Ooh, that's a lot of people.
72,000 people. So let's break that down. That's 194 people a day. That's 8 people every hour. That's more people dying from overdose than gun violence or car crashes combined.
Mm.
So
that's staggering.
It is staggering. It's sombering. And so there is no argument that we are facing a crisis.
And what about here in Mississippi? Do you have any numbers?
Here in Mississippi, there were 256 people who passed away from accidental overdose in Mississippi, and about 74% of those were from opioids, heroin, and prescription drugs.
So clearly from those numbers, you can see why there's a lot to deal with.
Yes.
But clearly you can see why so much attention is paid to overdose.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's why next Friday on August 31st, it is international, which I have to admit, I did not know that there was an International Overdose Awareness Day.
Well, yeah, there is, Dwayne. So, yeah, next Friday, August 31st, is International Overdose Awareness Day. And we are going to promote awareness on that day for a number of different reasons. Number one, we want to recognize and honor those loved ones of people that we've lost around the state to overdose. But we also want to start the conversation and educate people on overdose.
And you were telling me that, what do you mean by that? Because if you talk about overdose, I think, oh, you mean people dying from taking too many drugs. Tell me how it's more complicated than what I'm thinking.
Well, overdose is absolutely preventable. You know, you have to take precautions. We have to warn our children. We have to educate our citizens that overdose is a possibility. And if you take precautions and if you're careful, it's absolutely preventable. But there's also medications available like Narcan that can reverse the effects of overdose. And if you're interested, if anyone is listening and they're interested in obtaining Narcan, they can go to www.standupms.org. And
it's interesting when you go ahead again and give the address one more time.
www.standupms.org. And another different aspect.
Okay. I just wanted to say, you know, there was pushback from some people in the law enforcement community at first about Narcan. They felt it sent a mixed message. You know, that's not my job. And I think what you're saying about this change, this emphasis to remembering that it's preventable, you know, that this is important.
And then there were some concerns initially. However, I have to tell you, Duane, I have just been floored over the past year. I've traveled the entire state and trained over 5,000 law enforcement officers, firemen, first responders, trained them personally. And I have seen the change in the state of Mississippi. I've seen the first responder community jump on board and said, you know what, let's do this. If it's going to help people, let's do it. It's not our job to decide if it's right or wrong or how many times. It's our job to save lives. And I want to commend them for doing that. And also, you know, we want to recognize them next Friday on International Overdose Awareness Day, because, you know, it's easy to think about just the people who are overdosing, but what about those guys who go out time after time to save lives? If you and I accidentally overdose in this studio, Duane, who are we going to call? We're going to call the EMTs to come help us.
And I know just from working in news, when you're dealing with a certain type of information all the time, you find a way to compartmentalize it. It's not easy to be confronted with death so frequently. And as you say, let's reemphasize it again, preventable deaths.
Absolutely. Overdose is preventable. We've got to talk to our kids about it. We need to talk to our communities about ways to prevent it and overcome it. And we've got to equip our first responders with ways to help save people from overdose. And so thank you for letting us do that.
That's my pleasure. Talk to people about some of the specific tributes and activities going on that day. We've talked about some of the tributes. What kind of activities are going to be going on in the state next Friday, August 31st?
So the first thing I want to encourage all of your listeners to do, if you have a tribute that you'd like to send out to someone that you love, or if you yourself have survived an overdose, you can go to our website, www.standupms.org/tribute. And you can write your name, your email address if you'd like to, and just a tribute to what your experience is or your loved one. And we're going to be publishing those on social media for the next week. But also on the day of, on Friday, August 31st at 10 a.m., we're going to have a virtual event. We want everyone to all change their profile pictures on their social media accounts. You can get the image at our Stand Up Mississippi Facebook page. And we want to have this virtual event and show that everyone is concerned. Everyone wants to be proactive. And let's send a message to the leaders in our state that it's time to make a change.
Angela Mallett, Outreach Coordinator with Stand Up Mississippi. Thank you for bringing all this information, and thank you for sharing your personal experience. I think that's one of the ways to reduce stigma.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody you know has had a problem. We invite you back again.
I will. You're going to have snacks next time?
Yes, for you, I will have snacks.
Yeah, and coffee, Dwayne.
Just tell me what you need, Angela.
All right.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Don't forget to catch Metro Morning Live with Rob J. That's tomorrow at 7 and again at 10 on Comcast Channel 14. You can catch their live stream on Facebook. Just type in Jackson State TV, one word. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more of the Full Spectrum right here on FM 88.5. You can catch our live stream on WJSU.org. Up next, Latin Jazz with host Dale Morris. Have a great evening.